Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, or whatever time it is in your part of the world. You have reached Moon, Mu, and You, the Collective Wisdom. The call-in number is 347-205-9200. Our guest tonight is Jeanette Maul, good vibe coach, and a totally exuberant person. I became familiar with Jeanette after the Secret DVD came out. And then at that time, I bought an ebook from Colin Jost, another Pat O'Brien friend, about the law of attraction. Jeanette had a bonus there, and it taught me more about the law of attraction than anything I have ever read. So we are so excited tonight. We thought we would discuss the Prey Rain Journal, the law of attraction, animal rescue, and anything and everything else. And before I bring Jeanette on the show, I want to bring on Moonvine, a.k.a. Joan Adams. Good evening, Joan.
Hello, Kate. How are you?
Wonderful. How are you?
Excited. Anxious to hear Jeanette. That'll be wonderful.
Yeah, it's very exciting. Would you like me to bring her on right now?
Oh, I think so. I think that would be great.
A wonderful moment. Good evening, Jeanette.
Hello, how are you?
Wonderful, how are you?
I'm just laughing because now I guess I know how some of my participants feel on my group calls when they're muted. I'm like so excited to talk, I couldn't wait for you to unmute me.
You kept your coin like,
Yeah, interesting to be on the other side of it. And I didn't realize, Kate, that we had Colin to thank for knowing each other.
It's definitely vivid in my imagination that that's what happened, yes.
Right on.
Yes.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to talk with you all tonight.
Well, thanks for coming on. And Joan and I were talking on the phone last night about the Prey Rain Journal, and wasn't that fun? I mean, Joan, didn't we have a great time?
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. And she has been talking about Prey Rain as long as I think I have known Kate Shinks. So I'm delighted to finally get to meet you, Jeanette, and learn all about this. It just makes so much sense to me.
Well, it's my pleasure to be here. Thanks for the opportunity.
Well, what's so cool is that the distinction is, you know, we were talking last night, that it isn't praying for rain or praying for whatever it is that your heart so much desires, but it is pray rain, not pray for, but pray for, not pray for, but pray
it. Yeah, be it.
Pray
feel
it.
Yeah.
Feel it, yeah. And
it's a subtle
distinction,
but a powerful one, isn't it?
Yeah, and it really is something that stood out for me last night, especially when we were, you know, yakking about it on the phone. Totally subtle, but totally real.
So do your listeners already know it, or should we tell the Prey Rain story?
Please tell the Prey Rain Journal story, or just the story itself.
Well, I'll tell, yeah, so in fact, this is really cool. It would be more cool if it were up right now, but I just recorded a little audio thing to go on the Prey Rain sales page explaining what Prey Rain is, because a lot of people who have no idea what I'm talking about just get nothing but a big question mark when they hear that term or read it online. And I don't know if the page is active yet, but I know my VA's been working on it today. Anyway, Prey Rain, it's a term I learned from Greg Braden, and he tells a story about when, oh, I think it was in New Mexico in the 90s, they'd had like a five-year drought going, and a Native American friend of his invited him to go. He was going to go end the drought and, you know, pray for rain. So he asked Greg if he wanted to go along. Greg had never seen a rain dance before, so he thought it would be interesting. So he went with. They drove out to the middle of nowhere, and then they parked and walked further out to the middle of nowhere until they got to a sacred circle of stones. And Greg's friend took his shoes off. He stepped inside the circle of stones, and a couple of minutes passed, not long, silently. I think his friend said something like, "All my ancestors are with me now," and he repeated that a couple of times. But other than that, it was total silence. So after a couple of minutes of not much happening, his friend opens up his eyes and he steps outside the circle and he puts his shoes back on and he says to Greg, "Okay, we could go now." And Greg says, "What? What do you mean we could go now? I thought you were going to pray for rain. I thought there was going to be dancing and costumes and chanting and drums." And his friend laughed and he said, "No, if I prayed for rain, I wouldn't get rain," as if that was the most ridiculous thing to think. He said, "What I did was I prayed rain. I felt the rain falling on my arms. I tasted it on my tongue. I smelled it in the air. I felt the rain collecting underneath my toes. I felt the shoulder-high corn brushing against me from all the rain that had fallen." So he felt the rain now. He didn't ask for it. He felt it. So the story goes on that it not only rains that night, but it floods. Greg watches the weatherman doing the weather that night, and he says he's showing this jet stream moving across the country from from the west to the east, and it makes this little dip over New Mexico. It dips down and then goes right back up to continue on its way across the country. And Greg says he'll never forget the weatherman looking at that going, "Huh." So the important part here, in fact, when Greg tells the story, he says that this is why he believes, and it makes good sense to me, why we probably have more people than ever before praying for peace, and yet we have more war and violence and terror than we've ever experienced. Because when we ask for something, what we're saying vibrationally, and it's through our vibration that we're creating our tomorrow, that we create the world around us. But as we ask for something, we're acknowledging we don't have it yet. And that acknowledgement, that vibration, because like attracts like, we can only get more of the same. So that's why it makes all the difference in the world when we start feeling it before it's real, right? Or acting as if it's already happened. When we find a way to feel it before it's happened, that's when we can create some really magical stuff in our lives.
So
wow,
then if
so cool.
We as individuals were feeling and experiencing peace, then world peace becomes a possibility one by one.
That's
right?
A really good point, Joan. Yeah, to expect that it's something that's going to happen on the outside and come upon us one day and then, you know, suddenly peace will roll in and rule the land. It doesn't work that way. It starts from within. And the way we create that within is by feeling it first. We don't wait for things to change before we can feel peaceful or peace of mind or however we think of that. But we find it within first. And then because like attracts like, it has to be reflected all around us.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And
it
when you think about it, yeah, it's almost like the whole idea of pray rain. Is that how you first became
No.
connected to LA, you know, law of attraction?
Nope, it's not actually. In fact, that's a really good question, Kate. I had heard about this years and years and years and years before I ran into law of attraction. I didn't realize this was law of attraction until after I had started picking up on some law of attraction studies, and then I connected the dots. But this is before I'd ever heard Greg Braden talk about this, but a clairaudient woman here who she did some group teaching events, and she was telling the story about pray rain journaling. She talks about it in terms of journaling. And then years after that, my manifesting coach talked about Abraham saying, if you write a page a day in a book about what you want as if it's already happened, by the time you get to the end of your book, you will have it. So it's kind of a combination, but I'd be hard, kind of like us talking about how we got to know each other. It's been so long. It's kind of fuzzy in my memory who to give credit for what. But I'll tell you, when I first practiced it, it really got my attention. It really got my attention, and I knew, okay, I'm onto something really powerful here.
Yeah, because didn't it happen within like 2 or 3 hours?
It was hours.
Dramatic happened,
Yeah. They say, you know, weeks, you know, however long it takes you to get through a page a day, by the end of your book you'll have what you want. By the end of the day, I had experienced it, and I thought I was writing down things that were so incredibly fantasy-filled that it would be a miracle if they ever happened at all, let alone happen the same day.
You must have been really ready.
I must have. You were right about that. You know, that's interesting you'd say that, Kate. I've found that before. It seems like sometimes the more desperate we are, the more dark things are. When we let just a little bit of light in, you know, when we crack the door just a little bit for universe, it floods in. I mean, it's the kind of thing that you can't help but notice when you've been in a really dark place. And I was certainly there.
What I think is important about that, you know, just hourly experience of having that manifestation is that you were goofing off.
Amen.
I remember listening to you on a call, and you said you were the queen of goofing off. Isn't that right?
Yep. Yep.
I think we can all learn from that.
Well, I got to say, for me, goofing off feels good. I know for some people, goofing off feels irresponsible or it's not enjoyable, but for me, it's relief, it's enjoyable. I mean, it's all good. So, and because we know that good things happen when we do what feels good, goofing off is an incredibly effective method for me to get what I want.
Right.
Like when things relate to it. Oh, so you understand. It's like when things slow down for me business-wise, I know, okay, it's time to go goof off some more.
So don't you think goofing off is a pretty cool concept?
Oh, I love it. I just love it. And it makes them there again. It's just common sense. You know,
yeah.
I mean, anybody will tell you that you're going to be more productive if you walk away and play a while and come back. You know,
And I bet everyone has experienced that, regardless of your knowledge about law of attraction and how the world works. I think many of us have had that experience where we're struggling to remember something or to make some connection, and once we walk away from it and do something else, that's when it all comes together.
Yeah, right. That's the creative process.
When you start to stop trying to push it.
Yeah.
And allow it. Yeah.
Which makes perfect sense, because when we're in struggle or effort, that's usually not lined up with the good things we want to have happen. I know some people really do enjoy struggle and effort. They've been like really well trained that's how things happen. So when they're experiencing that, it makes them feel good because they believe that things are going to happen. But I think for most of us, that's not the case.
Yeah, especially the 60s generation.
Yeah, no kidding, huh?
The rebels of the world.
The rebels of the world, and whatever generation you are. Yeah, absolutely.
Not too long ago on my blog, someone had suggested, I don't remember who started this, but we talked about making a Pray Rain blog because, so Pray Rain, what Greg's friend was doing was, you know, he was feeling it in his sacred space, but the journaling process is where you do it in writing. You can also do this verbally, you know, scripting. I've taught courses on that before where we each take turns speaking about it as if it already is. Really powerful stuff. But I've got a guy who's putting together a blog. In fact, he just showed me the beginning of it. It should be done pretty soon. PrayRainBlog.com will be the website. But it's a blog where we can go on and post our entries. If you wanted to post them there for others to read, because let's face it, you know, when we get in community, there's a synergy that we tap into that is much more powerful than when we're doing something just by ourselves. So very soon that'll be available as well for people who want to, you know, even read others. I find sometimes my clients who want to create something, they just don't even have the words or the languaging for it, or they're so far away from it that they don't know where to start in describing it. And in those cases, giving them a couple of ideas like, well, okay, if it were me, here's what I would say, it gets them on a roll. It taps them in. It helps them feel that energy. So I'm anticipating that's what people will experience with the Pray Rain blog as well.
Hey, that's a great idea. I can hardly wait.
Yeah.
I will have that come into my mailbox every day.
Well, when you do that, are you not, you're just creating the power of the mastermind?
Oh my, that's exactly it, Joan. That's exactly it. And I've been having so much fun with that lately that the more ways I can find for us to tap into that, the better, because I think there's just incredible power there that, you know, I did, well, independence is one of my core values, so I've done things on my own for quite a while, but once I've started plugging into other groups and communities and other people, it's like night and day. It really still, it's astounding to me, the difference.
Well, Twitter is a beautiful mastermind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, there you go.
All these social networking groups are all just amazing. Like Joan and I do Squidoo, which is the lens making thing, and Joan is my mentor there. She is a giant 100. She has more than 100 lenses, and she
you
is
guys
so
have,
simple.
Yeah, you both have done some pretty amazing things there.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's kind of interesting.
Well, we both thought. We didn't know what we were doing, or I certainly didn't, but we were told about it by a friend of ours who kept saying to Joan that she needed to do this. This is something she needed to do, and she tried it and said he was wrong, and I think something must have clicked. And then you become, the community there is awesome. Just great.
Really?
People.
Right on.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful.
Oh, it's
mastermind. Beautiful.
Okay, well,
people.
I didn't know that. I tapped in long enough to make a super short. I'm embarrassed to even mention it because compared to what you two do, it's not worth mentioning. But I guess I didn't hang out long enough to feel that community. But I had the same experience on Twitter too, where, you know, the first time I heard about it, I checked it. I was like, what's this? And then ignored it for several months until my business coach, Melody Campbell, said, yeah, you got to do this. And
exactly.
It didn't take too long for me to get hooked.
Yes, our Pat O'Brien told us a long time ago to do it. And I just thought it was so stupid, but I couldn't understand. And I think a lot of people are into that mode until they start to see the beauty of it.
Yeah,
it
well, and
so
to tap
cool.
into the kind of group that we, because I mean, I know there are some groups on Twitter that I wouldn't have a good time with, but there are some really high vibrating people who are connected.
Oh my, yes.
That's, yeah, one of my favorite things about my computer.
Yeah, let's jump back. Yeah. I want to jump back to Twitter again, and I want to go back to the peace thing. I watched a video, and I'm all fired up about it. And what are you going to do now? But if we somehow with a hashtag, and I know nothing about hashtags, but, you know, they've created Good News Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Why couldn't we create a peace moment on Twitter? And not even be, doesn't need to be even 5 minutes. It
oh,
can be
my gosh, well.
1 minute that's all the same.
Oh, I'm absolutely sure we could.
Pray peace.
Yeah.
Yeah, huh? In fact, I bet somewhere someone's already doing this. In fact, a couple of groups come to mind. Their names are escaping me, but I know a couple people have organized things like this, not so much on Twitter, although, shoot, I don't know, maybe someone already is on Twitter. I don't know. That'd be really cool to find out if they were. But
well, I mean, we all just have such diverse groups. We have different groups.
Mm-hmm.
And I
mm-hmm.
just you were talking about the ones that you know that are into such a thing, and I just have a vision of, you know, hundreds of thousands of people praying peace at one time.
Yeah,
that's
do you know the Global
idea.
Coherence Initiative by any chance?
No, I have
I
no
think
idea.
I may have run into it.
I know there is Global Wisdom.
The Coherence Initiative, I heard about it through Greg Braden at one of his presentations. It's, I want to say, what's this software? There's like this software, oh gosh, I'm totally forgetting what it's called. But they, there is a group together, and they do send out emails for swine flu. They sent something out. They said, look, you know, people are getting kind of out of control with fear on this. Let's rein things in. And it's, again, it's getting everyone on the same page at the same time to create a really much more powerful vibration than if we were doing it on our own, you know, individually.
Yes.
Wow. Yes. See, I have no idea about that, so I love those links.
Yeah, me too.
That
the
would
guy
be great.
Who did a movie on the Indigo Children, I forget his name, but and he also was into spoon bending for quite some time, and he has he was into, you know, 5 minutes for peace, and he, if I could only remember his name, it was really cool though, and it was very effective. But
I bet.
He did do it on Twitter, you know.
Yeah,
so. Twitter is such a huge, huge venue. I mean, goodness. The power of such a thing astounds me right now.
Well, and especially how quickly it's growing, too.
Yeah, and how quickly something like that, that message would go out and happen. I mean, you're not asking for people to take a half a day off work, for goodness sake.
No kidding.
Well, although that might be a great idea.
Hey, yeah, I can go for that, too.
No kidding.
Take a minute to play. You could even do play a minute. You know, you could do just tons of things.
Yes.
Hmm.
Well, let's work on that.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Sounds good to me.
We got to think about that. So.
Or work is maybe too strong a word. Yeah. We'll play on that.
Yeah. Play with that. Let's play with
well
it a bit
said.
And see what happens. Yes. I've also got a bee in my bonnet about going out to get a new journal in the next 24 hours. So
When
you do the journal, then you pick up a new journal and you start writing Pray Rain, which is, I'm an old lady. I don't know if you know that, but I'm old.
Whatever.
Norman
sell it to someone else. I'm not buying it.
Well, I'm trying to just get my generation in there for you. So I used to read a lot of Norman Vincent Peale. And his version of Pray Rain was, back in those days, act as if.
Oh,
so
right
what
on.
You're doing is you are writing, and I used to do it, but you're writing your act as if. You are writing it as if it's in the present time.
Yep. So you're sticking yourself right in the middle of it instead of wishing for it from the outside
right.
of it.
You get into it. And you're not using pictures, and I'm big into pictures, too, but you don't do pictures with this particular exercise.
You certainly could. In fact, I know some people that instead of doing vision boards, they do like a scrapbook, and they create the sorts of things that they would be, acquiring if whatever it is that they wanted were already happening. And so they'll put like a Pray Rain scrapbook that's pictures, not so much, you know, sentences that they're writing, but something that says to them, this has happened. I do so much better with words, and this is what I ask my clients to do, is to pay attention to what best takes you to that place of feeling it, of feeling it now rather than feeling like it hasn't happened. For some people, I know visualizing is incredibly effective. Affirmations or mantras work great for others. Acting as if, you know, just going through daily life, how would a size 6 girl, how would she make this meal? How would she drive through this intersection? But for me, writing, super, super, super powerful, which is why I don't necessarily repeat my mantras out loud as much as I do write them on colored sticky notes. And I also have an intentions journal where I write things down that I want to have happen, and Pray Rain journaling, because I know when I write something down, it will happen. When I visualize, my visualizing doesn't feel as powerful for me. I can get lost in that pretty quickly, so and get off track of what it is that I want. But man, my point of focus.
Journal, your intention
pardon?
Journal is separate. Your intention journal is separate from your Pray Rain.
Yes, it is for me. For setting intentions, I know different people use different things. And, you know, for just the light and easy ones, I will just, you know, hold it in mind. Sometimes I'll say it out loud if it really matters. But the stuff I really want to have happen, I know if I put it in writing, it will happen. So I have a separate journal, and I used to have like one page for every week, but now I just have one page for every month. And I write down what it is I want to see happen this month, and I put it in, I language it as if it already has happened. If I can put it in the form of an I am statement, I do. But yeah, that's separate than my Pray Rain journal. And I got to say, I don't run a Pray Rain journal all the time. There hasn't been anything that I've I've felt like I needed to turn to that method for, because that's like, that's my big guns. when I'm stuck and nothing else is working, the Pray Rain journaling is what gets things flowing, and I haven't used one in a while.
So if you were doing Pray Rain and you had one thing that you were really focused on,
mm-hmm.
you would write every day about that one thing?
As if it's already happened, yep. This is
you
what I did
continue.
when I was building my coaching practice. I would have one page might go something like, I had so much fun with my clients today. They were an absolute joy to work with. I love the progress they're making. I love how they keep referring their friends and family to me. I'm having so much fun with this chosen livelihood. And then the next night, I might write something like, oh, Janie had such a breakthrough today. I was so excited to hear what she reported back. And, you know, so different details on different nights, whatever feels inspired. But I'm writing about it as if it's already my reality. As I do that, my vibration is much different than from the place of wanting it or wishing it would happen. It sends a very different instruction to the universe, as you can imagine. Or you've probably experienced it, right? I know Kate has.
I think that when you are praying for something, it's almost like you are in a drought.
Mm-hmm.
Back to that metaphor.
Yeah.
You are in a drought whenever you are feeling that lack and desperation.
And that's what universe is hearing, and that's all it can send back, is more lack, more without, more just outside of your reach. So finding a way to feel like it's already happened, that switches up the instruction dramatically. So then universe has to figure out, because it hears you, it's going to match whatever you're sending out. And when I say universe, I mean, you know, God, source, energy, whatever you call your higher power. But it's got to match whatever it is you're vibrating. So when I write about it as if it's already happened, this is just like the art of storytelling, right? I'm reading this really cool book on, it's called Coyote Wisdom. And the guy's talking about, he's a doctor, he's talking about how Native American healers created miracle healings through storytelling. And he says, basically, you know, when we go to our doctors, a diagnosis, it's just a story. It's a story that we believe in. And the stories are how we unfold our tomorrows. I mean, that's how we create our world. Jim, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, Loehr, he wrote a book called The Power of Story. And he never uses the words law of attraction, but he also talks about how he's writing for a very corporate business executive audience. But he says, pay attention to the stories that you're telling because you're living into them. And that's what this Pray Rain journaling allows us to do, tell the story the way we want it to be.
Yeah, I love that.
Because we're pretty hesitant to do that. We don't usually talk to people about something unless it's true. And, I mean, we might tell them what we're up to or what we want, but still we're talking about it in terms of what we were wanting to create. And that, again, is reinforcing that we don't have it. This is something that's absent from our lives right now. So Pray Rain journaling is a safe place to step right into it without sounding crazy to your friends and family.
Well, you know, it reminds me of how people relate to each other with their symptoms. And that's why they don't heal. They're constantly talking about, you know, my arthritis, and this pain, and I'm getting old and things like this.
Mm-hmm.
And even in their 30s, I work with a lot of women in their 20s and 30s, and they're talking about how they're getting old. So I have to laugh. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, is that really what you want to create? But you're right, there's a huge payoff there for many people they may not realize, and if it's a sense of connection or community, I mean, that obviously serves them in a powerful way, but there is a way to experience that without having the side effects of aging or pain or illness.
Well, the thing is that they're not getting well, and
they
are continuously in a state of illness because of everybody, or if, you know, the whole thing of incest survivors or even alcoholism. I mean, I'm a recovering alcoholic. And I have a hard time. I love Alcoholics Anonymous. I love everything about it except for going to the – I can't go anymore because if I have to stand up one more time and say I am an alcoholic, it feels like I'm putting myself in a box. And I don't understand that – I don't really know if Alcoholics Anonymous understands that concept of that. And I think it's so important. Maybe they need to grow beyond that because it's not reaching enough people, and enough people are not really being cured, or say that's not cured, but to be healed from alcoholism through that avenue of Alcoholics Anonymous, I think it's only 3% of people stop drinking and stay not drinking throughout their whole lifetime if they stay with Alcoholics Anonymous.
I did not know that was that low.
It's really low.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
I just wonder if that's why. You know, I am an alcoholic. I am an alcoholic. I am an alcoholic. Well, yeah, you don't want to be in a state of denial about that because it is a real denial problem in that illness. But I believe it stymies you.
I can certainly see the potential for it. I've had a variety of clients who have had enormous success with their involvement with AA, and I suspect that it has something to do with their perception of defining for themselves what it means to say, I am an alcoholic. Like maybe they can find it, they can tap into that in an empowering way, although personally, you know, this is why I stopped, here I go to say it, I stopped saying I'm healing from adrenal fatigue, because just even saying adrenal fatigue has got me vibrating adrenal fatigue, and so here I am still experiencing symptoms of adrenal fatigue, and I'm like, Jeanette, you stop saying it. Even saying you're healing from it is keeping me in it. So
I know. Isn't this a fascinating concept?
It is.
Really? It's really important, though. It's so important.
Well, you know, Kate, this is really interesting to me, because there is something about not being in denial and acknowledging where we are, but being able to craft our story in a way that, in fact, this is the topic of the e-zine that I'm writing today. I normally like to have sent it out by now, but it's not done yet. But it's on this topic of the power of our story and how we tell it and what the effect that has on us and the limitations that keep us from telling it exactly like we want it. And it's just a really interesting topic, in my opinion.
It is a very interesting topic. And another thing, just getting back to the alcoholism thing, I basically got involved in on an online group of women alcoholics. It was KISS, Keep It Simple Sister. And we wrote our shares. And when I think about that, and I've created three lenses, I kept all my shares. And writing those shares was much more powerful than speaking them when I would go to meetings. And this plays into our topic this evening, writing down that stuff about how I was healing and how I had a spiritual renaissance and my feelings about humility and my feelings about acceptance and tolerance and love and joy. I wrote about that every day on this group.
Mm.
And it was so powerful. I think that in and of itself did it for me.
But it wouldn't necessarily do it for somebody else. Right.
That's right. Absolutely.
That's
right.
A really good point. Yeah, and that's why, you know, we can't just take someone else's word or assume that their experience will work for us as well, but feel it out individually. What feels best to us?
Well, you know, once again, you know, it may be that people can't express themselves in writing, and that's why it wouldn't work for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then they could do pictures.
Yeah.
Yep. Or even speak it out loud. You know, even if you're just telling the story to yourself or telling it to your cat or speaking it out loud in the shower, if you find a way to bring your desire into your present-day world rather than keeping it in tomorrow by talking about it like it hasn't happened yet, there are a lot of different ways to do it, but finding the one that feels best, that's where people will experience the most magic.
Well, in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, you'll have the old-timer who is joyous and free and laughs all the time. And those are the people that we all looked up to because of their ability to have thrown off the story of I am an alcoholic. I am a desperate person. At one time they lived in, maybe some of these people, I'll never forget this one guy who was one of the most wisdom of almost anybody I had ever met at that time. He had been a street drunk. He was homeless and just drank out of paper bags. And there he was. Mm-hmm. He had probably been sober for 25, 30 years. One of the wisest person I have ever met. And so you have somebody who can say, hi, I am such and such and so, and I am an alcoholic, and have it just sweep over them and not have it be a problem because they've grown out of it.
You know,
so really,
It reminds me of, I've had a couple of clients that have had issue with the I am powerless phrase. I don't know exactly where that fits in, but you know, deliberate creation is all about how we're totally powerful. We can create whatever we want. So it was that aspect of AA that they had issue with.
That's the first step of Alcoholics Anonymous. I am powerless over, you know, the alcohol. Well, you don't really want to. That's an interesting. You know, if you really meditate on it, though, you'll see that, you know, you don't really want the alcohol to have any power over you. It's a very interesting thing. You almost have to really think about it for days on end when you're doing the steps and stuff, because all the steps weave in and out. Those 12 steps are very powerful, and they do intertwine, and they're all connected. So maybe the first step you're powerless, but by the 12th step you are.
That a lot, Kate.
Yeah, you go through all the steps, and you're no longer powerless. You are one with God, and you are a channel for the healing of yourself and passing that healing on to others. And you're no longer powerless. You are in communication with God. When you were in the first step of Alcoholics Anonymous, you don't know who your higher power is. You are totally disconnected from God or whomever you want to call it, the universe or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So you are powerless because you are disconnected from the
source. Got it.
So I think that's what that means.
Well, and just like that, there's a perspective that works. You know, it doesn't take too long to find one that is empowering, that does work.
Yeah, very good, yeah.
And I don't know enough to get into a theological discussion here, but I go to a little unity group, but we have been taught for 20 years, we've been taught, you never end I am with anything negative.
I personally think that's a very powerful habit. I think that's good advice.
I
am tired, or I am busy, or
I am worried, or I am,
all of
those. I mean, you just don't do them. Now,
I even have a hard time, seriously, Jonah, I have a hard time even saying I am sorry. I'm like trying to find some new languaging to express my support to someone who's suffering without saying I am sorry, because sorry isn't really a...
Yes. I am sad that you feel that way. You can say, I am sad that you are experiencing that, or I am sad that you are feeling that, or it makes me feel sad that you are. But you can't buy into you can't be their sadness. Does that make, you understand what I'm saying?
It makes perfect sense, and I just, I still haven't found a nice way to, or a natural way. Like, I can catch myself, I was just, one of my dear friends lost his 9-year-old stepdaughter on Mother's Day. She was on the back of a motorcycle, and they got hit by an 89-year-old woman driving a car. I think it was a woman anyway. It was just, you know, devastating news for him. It was really hard for me to hear, and I just could imagine the pain he was experiencing. And I here were the words coming out on the email, I am so sorry. And it was just out of habit more than anything, but... Yeah, I'm still working my way around this one.
You can say, I am so sad with you.
Mm.
I mean, that's reasonable. The other thing, I have a friend who is, and I'm sorry I cannot properly say the word, Kate, what's your hopo?
Ho-ho-pono-pono,
yeah. Oh, my gosh, I'm the same way, Joan. I have no idea how to pronounce it.
I've never been able to say that thing. But I have to call her Kate. How do I say that? But my friend says, I can't do that, you know. I can't say that. You know, I love you.
Oh, the please forgive me. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Yes,
right.
That's it.
Yeah. You know, well, Joe Vitale, when I learned it from him, and he said, like, he shortened it because he had a problem with the I am sorry too part, so he just skipped it.
And that's what I told her to do.
Yeah.
I think I love you is the most powerful part of that whole Ho'oponopono thing anyway.
I love you and the thank you. I mean, appreciation and love. It just doesn't get any more powerful than that, right?
Those two things.
I think that's probably why it's magical. I know people who, in fact, I'd like to go for formal teaching on it just to hear what they have to say about it. But I suspect they'll argue there is something really key about the forgiveness and sorry part. But I have a sticky note.
Yeah, I'm actually about to put out a little ebook on it.
Oh, I can't wait, Kate! Woohoo!
Yeah. And I'm the reason it's not out at the moment is because I want to do an audio of it too. Or maybe I should just put the book out and add the audio. But I think it's a really powerful little book because it came from, you know, a place of kind of a channeling kind of thing. And people really like. Have you ever heard of Jimmy Piver or Piver? P-I-V-E-R.
No, I haven't.
He's really into Ho'oponopono, and he did a testimonial for the book, and Joan did a testimonial, and people in my mastermind did it too. But I think it's a great little book, so I'll let you know when that comes out. Yeah.
Oh, please do. I can't wait to read it and to share it.
Thank you. It'll be fun.
Sweet.
But there is that I am sorry. That is just a mantra, really. It has to do with when you are confronting something that you feel the whole sorrow of, you know, the universe. Because we really can't escape suffering, or that's the teaching of the Buddha anyway, or, you know, even Christianity. All the universal truth says that there is suffering. But there is a way to rise above suffering and to be liberated from it, and that is enlightenment. But the whole idea of being I am sorry gives you, I think, a feeling of connection. That's what I think that is.
I think that's why it's so natural for me to say that to someone who I see is suffering. I mean, and I'm naturally very empathetic, so I can feel it. I don't just see it, or, you know, they don't just tell me, but I can feel their sadness too. I think that's, you're right, there's something about the connection of it.
And there's nothing more devastating than losing a child.
Oh.
So that
I can't imagine.
Has to be the most devastating thing. And for you to have said it from just spontaneously meant a lot to him, I'm sure. I'm sure he really appreciated that.
Wow.
I see it all the time, you know, where I work, and we have a lot of, even though it's a joyous place where people deliver babies, but there's a lot of complications that occur and a lot of different things that happen that are tragic. And we have, people losing babies and having stillbirths and so forth. And even mothers nearly losing their lives and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we kind of hide that from the world. But our minister who works with us, our hospital chaplain works with us, and she has a way. She'll go to the people and hold their hands and look at them in the eye and say, I am so sorry. And there's something so beautiful by the way that she does that, that it almost makes you want to weep. I mean, it makes me want to cry just thinking about it. So
wow.
I don't really think I am so sorry is necessarily
a bad thing.
I don't think it means that I am sorry, meaning I am a sorry person. It means that I love you because
that's exactly what I was just thinking, Kate. I was feeling that I love you is really, boy, maybe
doesn't that
way
go all
the
way? Doesn't that go all the way back to the I am an alcoholic? I mean, it's what your perception is of it when you were saying it.
Yes, I'm beginning to see that in a different light as we talk about it too. It's not simple. It's like I am an alcoholic, but that's because I am very, very happy about it because I can help other people. I'm not in a state of denial about it. I have been there, done that.
Right.
Yeah, right. There's nothing wrong with it.
I know where you are.
Well, and this, again, it takes us back to how individual this is because some people, I would imagine for as many people we ask the question to, we'd get a different response from about how it feels to them, you know, what vibration it creates within them to say certain words.
I think that if words create a vibrational field of shame and guilt and that lower vibrational energy, then it is detrimental. I mean, I think that's a universal truth. But if it can be I know that David Hawkins, who created the consciousness scale, he was really big on Alcoholics Anonymous. He said it was the most incredible movement of the 20th century. So obviously he didn't think saying I am an alcoholic was shameful and filled with guilt. You know what I'm saying? So You know who I mean by David Hawkins? The
I do. Power versus
yes.
Force and Eye of the Eye. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So I think that given the fact that he thought so highly of Alcoholics Anonymous means that it's not really vibrationally out of alignment with, you know,
I remember I was working with my first law of attraction coach, and in Power versus Force he had, or it was the one that comes after that where he rates everything. I don't know what it was called, but anyway, he had Bush, like President Bush, really high on the scale. And I remember saying to my coach, I don't get it. If David Hawkins is really onto something here, how is it that Bush rates so high, which obviously reflects my prejudice? But what she said was, the guy's crystal clear. You know, he's got strong conviction, and that's what rates so strongly. And I was just listening to an Abraham CD the other day saying that, you know, when they were talking about those shows where people go before the judge, like Judge Judy, and you know, they have a variety of them, right, where they're arguing their cases in court. And
yeah.
They were saying something like how excited Esther and Jerry were now that they had met Abraham to be able to tell who was lying. But they said it was really interesting how just about everyone, as they were telling their story, believed they were telling the truth because they just had such conviction. They had told their story so many times they believed it to be the truth. It's really interesting stuff. It's like really aren't any black and whites.
Well, I'm beginning to think, and when you say that, this is off the topic a little bit, getting into politics, but it shows me something. I didn't realize that David Hawkins said that about George W. Bush, and that just proves to me that he was, if you ever saw the movie, by Oliver Stone with Josh Brolin playing Bush, that whole thing was that George Bush really wasn't, he was innocent. He didn't know what stuff was being played behind his back. And now that kind of verifies it by what David Hawkins said.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have to forgive these people. We can't just, you know, owe our lives.
Well,
to think we know everything is ridiculous.
Yeah. Amen to that.
Yeah.
And it's easy to get swept in to, you know, massive judgment, you know, I mean, certainly in other countries, let alone in the U.S., and I think it's really important for us to get conscious about what feels better for us, to consciously choose the beliefs and the thoughts that we hold, rather than just get swept in up by someone else's that may or may not serve us.
And I remember Ram Dass putting, you know, different deities up on his altar. He, you know, Buddha, Krishna, whomever. And then he put up Richard Nixon, and because you know Richard Nixon was our generation's, and then of course George W. Bush was close behind. But you have to forgive these people. We can't constantly feel that, get into this paranoid state that they're all out to get us. They're all, you know, it's like let's put it this way. I have to, because it's I was raised in a really left wing family. And there's a lot of paranoia about political leaders.
I can relate.
And it's not serving me. It's not serving me at all. So
I
like that whole idea of feeling some compassion for these people, because it's a hard job. You know, it's really one of the hardest jobs in the world.
What a beautiful perspective. Yeah, thanks for that, Kate. That's a much better way to look at it.
Oh, my goodness. But getting back to, I wanted to ask you another question about your animal rescue efforts. How many animals do you have at the moment?
Oh, my gosh, that's the sort of question I don't ask very often, but or I don't answer very often. But the reason why is because early in my animal rescue days, we were trained not to answer it under any conditions, because, the law here is you get two dogs and two cats maximum, and in some counties, not even that. So you never admitted to how many you really had. But I have six cats of my own, and I have three dogs of my own, but I also have one foster dog, Sydney. She's a 9-year-old golden retriever who is doing a fabulous recovery since we picked her up out of the shelter. And I've got a mama cat who was really not very nice when we first got her, but she's becoming much more friendly, and she had three babies. So Technically, that's four fosters and nine of my own, so that's 13 animals.
Wow.
I love that. Now tell me, are they all in your office?
All the fosters are, yes. All the fosters are right now. My dogs, they like to have the run of the house and the run of the yard, so they don't hang out with me in here. Plus, this mama cat, honestly, she's so mean. No one wants to be in here. Sydney's a brave girl, and she's so cute when she comes through the door. She's a big dog, but she tries to make herself really small, and she tries to fit underneath my desks because this mama cat has told her a couple of times that she's not welcome in here. But Sydney really likes being able to hang out with people, so she's willing to risk it, whereas my dogs are like, yeah, no need to hang out with you, Mom.
So you have a little pack of animals there.
It feels like a big pack some days, but this is a really interesting topic for me, too, because I just had lunch with my editor yesterday, and the last article that she had printed was around, oh boy, our efforts to change things, to improve conditions that we thought weren't ideal in the world. And she's a very strong activist. She's involved in a lot of things, and I am as well. But it took me a while, you know, to integrate law of attraction principles with this volunteer effort, because for a while it felt like I was fighting against something. In fact, even, you know, the group out here, No More Homeless Pets, it's what they're called, and that feels like it's got some resistance in it, right? No
yeah.
more homeless pets. It's like me
yeah.
saying healing from adrenal fatigue, you know, it's like
yeah. Yeah.
We're focusing on homeless pets, and no more, it's just filled with resistance. And I was that way with a lot of my activities as well. I used to go to protests, I would sign petitions, and I would write letters condemning and criticizing, and I realized, okay, this energy isn't helping. This energy isn't helping, and yet I still felt a really strong call to serve. So finding a way to do it that it felt positive, that it was like that I was adding energy to the result that I wanted, not to the result I didn't want, it was kind of a
yeah.
tricky thing for me to navigate over time, but I finally found my way there. And so instead of telling the stories of, you know, all the horrible things that are happening in the shelters, I tell the happy stories. You know, I talk about Sydney, who, you know, she didn't look like a candidate for having a long, happy life when we first got her, but oh my gosh, this girl, you've just never seen such joy and happiness. And these, yeah, hello, three kittens, and they're like 4 weeks old. Today, as a matter of fact, is their 4 week birthday. They're at the cutest age ever. I say that no matter how old they are. But honestly, you just can't help but feel, oh, just a lot of reverence for life and joy to be able to be of service in this way. You know, all I had to do was make a little space for her mom and three cat or and her kittens. It was no big deal. But it is a big deal. It's one of the reasons I get out of bed every day. It's really a critical piece of my enjoyment of life.
Yes. Well, we love animals. Joan and I love animals. Oh, my
mm-hmm.
gosh. And I guess I've written a few lenses on the topic.
Mm-hmm.
I probably should quit doing more dog lenses because it's fun, and I even won a little award on one of them. So
I've enjoyed them.
I love it. I love these animals.
Well,
they're so in tune.
Well, that's exactly it. They connect us with something that we don't easily connect with ourselves, I think, sometimes. I know this isn't true for everyone, but I think certainly people who love animals, one of the reasons they do love being around them, and it's the same with loving being in nature. It taps us into that God nature, right? It's that it's the source energy. It's who we really are. It's just
the
pure
creation.
Love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The creation itself.
Yeah.
I'm gonna tell you a real quick story, but I love dolphins and I have a lens about swimming with the dolphins. And Kate, I don't know if you've seen this today, but a friend of mine on Squidoo wrote and had been to the same place I went to swim with the dolphins.
Wow.
And she said, DevNet, and she said, she and Tony just got back, and she said, would you like my pictures to go on your lens? And, of course, I threw them on there real quick, and they're wonderful. But my thought was how we had all connected around our love for the dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I already loved them both. I don't, you know, we're not new friends. We've been friends since we all first got into Squidoo. but it has strengthened that bond between us, and there we are sharing that land space. It's a joint love for the animals. And
it's something to do with the mastermind energy again, right? Isn't it, Joan?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it always leaves me with my mouth wide open. I mean, I'm always going, what just happened here?
That's a good way of describing it. Yeah, because it is kind of hard to put words to the effect that's taking place. But I get it.
Kate has that neighing about the dogs and the dolphins, and that's on that same site. And that was almost 2 years ago, wasn't it, Kate?
Yes.
That you created that neighing because your brother's dog was dying at the time, is what I remember.
Yeah.
But,
yes.
He still
hasn't been able to get a dog.
Really?
Oh, bless
you. Yeah, I can't tell him what to do, but especially since he's my older brother. But I had a tragic loss of dogs that it took me 28 years to get another dog.
Mm.
So I don't recommend that at all. I think it's important to have them around. They're just so beautiful.
My mom did the same thing. We lost our last dog when I was still living there. I was a teenager, and they have never gotten another dog since then because she didn't want to experience that pain of loss again. And while I can understand that, I can't imagine the sacrifice of giving up that love of enjoying animals on a daily basis. She's got a cat, but that's different than a dog.
Well, I love cats, but I have a golden retriever. I guess a little different than Sydney, who would kill a cat.
And,
stinker. he's a real warrior dog. I don't think he's a typical golden retriever by any means.
It doesn't sound like it.
I love cats. Oh, my gosh. I just love them.
Yeah, they're a very different energy than dogs, although I've certainly met exceptions. I've got a dog that's more like a cat, and I've had cats that are more like dogs.
Yes,
so.
Exactly.
Oh, I've got a poodle that's in charge of a golden retriever. they do their own thing, you know. Yeah, they all have their own personalities, and they do what they want to do. They just like people.
Mm. Well, what's really cool is when you can go out with people and dogs, or any animal probably, and just be in the moment with the animals and not talk about a bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's nothing
mm-hmm.
more precious than that. I love
yeah.
it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. It's
Hanging
the gift they
the
bring,
animals.
Isn't it?
Yes, it is. And my husband and I have bonded so much over the years just by hanging out with the dogs. We both loved, for the first first 10 years or even longer of our marriage, he had the same thing where he lost a dog and he couldn't bring himself to get another dog. So finally we got Mukunda, who I think he's totally healed all that, because to me, I'm bound and determined not to completely fall apart when Mukunda dies, because why would I? I mean, first of all, he's living a very long life and he's he's doing very well. And, you know, he's going to outlive his body, and he's just going to go on. And why get so bent? I know how it was in the past. I completely freaked out when these animals died, and I understand doing that, but I refuse to do it anymore.
Well, grief is a real selfish emotion, Kate.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And when you think about that consciousness scale, grief kind of resonates down there with.
It's pretty low. Yeah, it's pretty low. Which doesn't make it inappropriate.
No, it doesn't.
Right.
I mean, if you feel it, you feel it.
Yeah,
but
you got to
feel less,
it.
We have less than 1 minute remaining on this program.
Oh, dear goodness, how'd that happen? Jeanette, I thoroughly enjoyed this. What fun. Delightful.
Oh, my
delightful.
God. Yeah, you two were a delight to connect with. Thanks again for inviting me here tonight.
I just loved having you on so much. And, We want you to tell us right now your website.
GoodVibeCoach.com is my main page. You can find more about Pray Rain Journaling at PrayRainJournal.com.
Say it again.
And that's going to be a blog.
Yeah, PrayRainBlog.com any day now. And I'm also GoodVibeCoach on Twitter.
Thank you. That's great.
My pleasure again.
And we will talk with you soon.
All right, sounds
Thank
good.
You.
I'll see you on Twitter. Bye, Kate. Bye, Joan.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, Jeanette. Goodbye, dear Joan. And I want to thank our beautiful music this evening of Henrique Burkabu and Klaus Jensen of www.musicformotherandchild.com. And thank you, everybody. This program will go out on the internet. It will be made into a lens and also will be put up on iTunes. So thank you. God bless. Love you all.